Today's episode is being sponsored by Swiss Hospitality Guild. SHG is a training center created to meet the strong demand for specialized hospitality staff. This training concept was born from the experience and expertise of its founder, Egidio Marcato. Egidio has become a reference in the world of hospitality coaching and has had success stories in skills championships, including Swiss Skills, Euro Skills, and World Skills, as well as the AICR World's Best Receptionist Competition. Contact SHG at www.swisshospitalityguild.com. Good afternoon. This is Crystal Cavan and 50 Shades of Hospitality. Today, we'd like to welcome Ivan Artoli, the general manager of the Hotel de Paris, Monte Carlo. Hello, Ivan, and nice to have you with us. Could you please briefly introduce yourself?
Hello, Crystal. Firstly, I would like to thank you for inviting me to participate to this podcast. I'm really delighted to be able to speak to you and speak to the audience. So I'm Italian. I was born very close to Padova. So this is the Veneto region, the north of Italy. I'm now 62 years old and I've spent 46 years in the hospitality sector. I've worked across 12 leading hotels of the world, both in operations and in sales and marketing. I'm presently the managing director of the Hotel de Paris in Monaco, which is part of the SBM, Société des Bains de Mer, the biggest hospitality operator here in the Principality. My origins are from a humble family. Both my parents were in hospitality. I have a brother who is also a general manager in Italy, three children who I have taken to different countries throughout Europe, two work and live in London, and the third one is a university in Milan.
Thank you so much, Ivan. What values have guided you throughout your career?
First of all, I have always been a little bit of a dreamer. So I've had different dreams at different stages of my life. And, these dreams have become little by little more and more important. And every time I applied myself, to get where I thought there was an opportunity for me to get. I give you an example. When we were a hotel school, the idea of becoming one day a head of department was something, unbelievable. We thought, oh my God, become a head of department. And the day I became head of department, I said, well, okay, head of department, but what's next? So that is definitely one of the values. I've always been determined to do what it takes. Whatever difficulties came my way, if I had in mind to do something, well, I just did it. I maneuvered through difficulties in order to get there. Another value is intellectual curiosity. I've always been curious about things around me. I've always been curious on how some of my colleagues or some of my bosses were able to do things better than I could. And often I've invited them to sit down and I've asked them, how is it that you are able to do these with such an ease? And I realized that not only did they like to be asked because it was a indirect compliment, but they would also, tell you how I could have improved myself and got somewhere nearer to the way they were managing things. I was recently talking to my former managing director at Roccoforte Hotels. I was visiting London last week to attend the Master in Holders annual conference. And during our conversation, he said one thing. He said, well, you definitely were always able to seize opportunities. And it's quite funny how sometimes people can tell qualities of yourself that you don't even realize you have, because for you, you know, seizing those opportunities, well, it's normal. You know, you have an opportunity. What do? You let it go? No. And does it take hard work? Never mind. You know, does it take problem solving? Never mind. You got to seize that opportunity. I also think that adaptability has been, you know, maybe not a value, but is something that has helped me, you know, to adapt myself to different environment, different cultures, different languages. You know, accept the fact that, you know, maybe you're not that fluent, but you still can communicate. You know, if you take some of the top leaders like Churchill had a huge communication issue. I mean, he really had to stick to short sentences in order to be able to held a speech. And he made, out of difficulties, he made actually, you know, one of the things he was extremely good at. I have learned to be grateful, you know. I mean, never take anything for granted. If anybody does something for you, you know, remember to be grateful and to you know, to go out of your way to make sure that you thank that people. And, you know, I think a lot of hoteliers say this. You know, it's easier to say than to do, but treat others the way you like to be treated. I mean, this is really, this is what makes you a leader in the end.
Yeah, and you just mentioned adaptability, but adaptability is often closely related to being open-minded. And that's a wonderful quality and a wonderful value, I think. When you started your career in hospitality, did you ever imagine that one day you would be running some of the most beautiful hotels in Europe?
As I said just now, you know, the dream, which you know, looked like a challenging dream, was to become head of department. So you can imagine that between head of department and managing director of one of the, you know, most luxurious hotel in Europe is a long way. So no, I honestly would not have, I could not have possibly imagined it. On top of it, I worked at the Hotel de Paris between 1983 and 1989 as part of the front office team. So not only did I get to managing director, but I actually worked at the same hotel with a very different title 20 years before.
And what do you think are the specific challenges that high-end luxury hotels are facing today?
Well, I think, you know, maybe due to the pandemic, maybe due to the new generation, I think hiring, retaining staff is becoming a big challenge, you know, to recruit talent or to identify talent when talent is not even there yet, and therefore develop people and keep them motivated. You know, I realized that, you know, when I first started in this industry, working at Claridge's, at the Ritz in Paris, at, you know, Grand Hotel de Paris, or the Hotel de Paris in Monaco, in many other hotels, I mean, it was a big honor. You know, you were there and, you know, you were working hard. You weren't expecting, you know, all this gratification. you know, you motivated yourself, and you know, because you had a lot of people competing for with you for higher positions. I mean, that is completely changed. I mean, in the old days, you had to seduce your employer. Now it's the employer who needs to seduce the team member. So, you know, by having to hire, having to accept that you hire people with less experience, you need to make totally sure that, you know, these people have the talents that you're looking for. And so you need to have a vision for them. And not only do you have to see it, but you have to get them to see it. It's becoming more and more difficult to make young people realize that there are a lot of opportunities in the hospitality sector. You know, you can move across countries, you know, you can grow, you know, tourism will keep growing, you know, food and beverage outlets, they offer huge opportunity. There's big money behind food concepts. So, but it does take an effort, so you know it doesn't come easy. You need to accept the fact that you work late, you work on Saturday and Sundays, you work in July and August when everybody else goes on holidays, depending on where you are. So there are a lot of things that you need to accept, which are not so easily acceptable by younger than a generation who want in you know. A good balance between, you know, working and private life. So I think that is the challenge we have. Another thing is really because of this different age and nationality, you know, aligning the team on the same vision, mission, and values is extremely important. You know, constant and effective communication is vital. It cannot be, you know, upwards or downwards of the pyramid. You know, it needs to be all around. It needs to flow in both ways and making people responsible. You know, I mean, that is something that is extremely important. People need to realize that they own the guest satisfaction. You know, it's up to them to create memorable moments. I you know, and to this regard, this hotel works miracle, because sometime here, it's the clients who delivers a memorable moment to you rather than, you know, you delivering it to him. And there are places like this.
In your opinion, how has hospitality changed over the years? I mean, you've been in the business for a long time. What kind of changes, evolution have you seen?
Okay, I mean, I think that in a way, nothing has changed. And in another way, you know, this adaptation we were trying to talk earlier on is ever so present. When I say nothing has changed, I believe that luxury hospitality is all about generosity. Okay, you have to be generous with your clients to charge the rate that you need to charge to deliver the experience that you want to deliver. Okay, so and there are two types of generosity. One is, you know, related to empathy, interest, anticipation, you know, smile, make people feel they are listened to. If there is a problem, you know, don't try to come up with excuse, but listen the person out. You need to give the opportunity to the client to tell him, to tell you how upset he is, okay, about something. Once he's emptied that the dissatisfaction, then you start, you know, offering solutions. And if you have to think about it or speak to somebody to seek assistance in try to solve that problem, you need to tell the client, you know, just leave it with me, you know, how can I best reach you, you know, give me a few minutes, can I buy you a drink? Please sit down, make yourself comfortable. You know, you are in good hands. I think that whenever a client chooses leading hotels of the world, the Four Seasons, Mandarin Oriental, you know, whatever luxury chain or hotel, this is buying an insurance. He's buying an insurance, whatever happens, things will go well. So, and it's up to you to make sure that if something happens, you recover. Because something happening sometimes is an opportunity for you to get to know the clients better. If nothing happens, most of the time I don't get to meet the clients. But if something happens, I get to meet them. And, you know, they come to realize how important guest satisfaction is, not only for me, but for everybody throughout the hotel. So that is one thing. Then, you know, we have different generation with different values and different interests. So how do we as hoteliers adapt to them, satisfy their expectations? You know, I mean, I was recently staying at the Bulgari in Paris. And, you know, it was a rainy evening outside. I was due to go and visit a place I wanted to see, a bar concept. But all of a sudden, I felt tired. And I said, you know, I mean, I'll go to visit this place another time. So I you know, there were plenty of books, television. And suddenly I realized I had like a hotel iPad. And I started looking at the iPad. And I, you know, they had room service on the iPad. You know, in-room dining. And I thought, okay, I never tried ordering in-room dining through an iPad. So I looked at it and, you know, I choose my dishes. And by the time I was in my pyjama, you know, I didn't want to see anybody. And I said, you know, comments, just leave it, ring the bell and leave it outside my door, please. So, and, you know, it was perfect. 22 minutes later, the door rang. I waited a few seconds. I opened the door. There was nobody there. I pulled my tray in, and I know how to set up an in-dining table. And I had a delicious meal. You know, I mean, I remember talking to some of my former bosses, and they said, you know, why do you need an iPad for, you know, clients? They can pick up the phone and ring room service. Yeah, they can. But, you know, if it is the younger generation, you know, a young couple, they are there, they don't want to be disturbed, they don't want to talk to anybody, you know, they will take the iPad and order to the iPad. So, you know, the communication, speed of reaction, you know, we need to digitalize the guest experience, check-in, check-out processes. If I don't want to meet with the receptionist, I need to be able not to see the receptionist and still register, get my key on my phone, you know. So I think that is really what we need to do. And, you know, this is nothing to do with not having or reducing staffing level. You know, the staffing level needs to remain the same, but you need to give the opportunity to your clients to choose exactly how he wants to interact with you.
Well, that's a great answer to the question, because the next question I wanted to ask you was, what role does or should technology play in hospitality? Can you think of other ways?
Technology is extremely important, but not only in terms of, you know, not only as far as the guest is concerned, but also with what technology can do for you and your team, so that everything gets recorded, you know, everything gets done, and you know, when it's done, you are advised that things have been done. So things are tracked. You can see exactly, you know, how your maintenance team is performing, how your skipping, team is performing. You know, you can ensure the guest relation follow up on each of the glitches that you open during the day, and nothing is forgotten.
And what is your view on training, education, and recruitment today in the industry?
You know, I mean, I think it's vital, but it's not. I don't think it's today. You know, every time I felt I wasn't learning much, that when the process began for me to find a different job. You know, I think. the not being able to progress, to learn more, to satisfy your intellectual curiosity, that is a problem. You know, a mind stays young as long as the mind is you know, wanting to learn. You can be an elderly man or an elderly woman, and you know, if you take the trouble to listen to a podcast, watch television. I mean, I don't like watching television, but you know, I like more active things. But take a training course, you know, do something. That is really what keeps your brain going and keeps it active. So you can imagine how important it is for younger people. You know, my two girls, they are very determined as to what to do. My son, you know, not quite. My son is more, he knows exactly what he doesn't like, but he's still, you know, looking for himself. So you imagine how important it is for his present employer to train him, to develop him, so that he can actually retain him rather than seeing him move on to a different industry.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that hotels are doing enough to try to train their employees, their staff? Do you think the staff is getting enough in-house training?
Some countries have always done it. You know, I've worked in the UK for a number of years, and you know, UK, there is an issue with the British mentality and service. You know, English, British, you know, they've always, you see, the country has always been split between those people who served and those people who got served. So the service industry does not have a good reputation in terms of social status in the UK. So it is, you know, for them, it has always been extremely vital to have very clear procedures in place, job description, tasks, everything was written down. You take Four Seasons, you take Mandarin Oriental, you know, all these companies, Roccoforte Hotels, they all have their written standards. That was because the turnover in the UK has always been much, much higher than Italy, for example. Italy, a waiter would be a waiter for an entire life. So he knew how to do his job. There was little need for him to be trained unless, you know, he was beginning his career in food and beverage operation. So the more you need to rely to other people to do the job, the more training you need to do. That's for sure. And, you know, unfortunately, the younger people, they are not used to really worry about other people's well-being. I mean, it's all about ourselves and little about others. So again, you know, how do you teach somebody to take pleasure out of looking after a client's, you know, seeing how pleased he is when doesn't even need to say to you what he needs from you, but you can actually, you know, realize there is nothing worse than somebody in a restaurant, you know, having to look and try to attract waiters' attention because waiters are walking around as if, you know, they couldn't move their head left and right and scan the room. I mean, a waiter needs to scan the room continuously. Because the moment he doesn't scan the room, a client is looking for something and is not seeing it.
I have another question. During your career, have you been inspired by some role models? And if so, who were they and what did you learn from them?
Oh, I mean, to be honest with you, I met a lot of very good people. Some had huge natural talents. Some were true leaders. You know, I remember the two concierges I worked with at the Brenner Spark Hotel in Baden-Baden, Mr. Moretti and Mr. Troy. One was Italian, the other one was German. It was like the sun and the moon. They were totally different from one another. You know, and Mr. Schmidt, Mr. Schumacher, number one and the number two of the hotel. I remember Mr. Hanson, the general manager of Claridge, Mr. Bentley, his assistant, you know. I worked for Mr. Klein when he was general manager of the Ritz, then became president of the Ritz in Paris. I remember Dario Dell'Antonia, who was managing director here at the SBM when I worked at the Hotel de Paris. Sir Rocco Forte, you know, visionary hotelier who lost an empire and started a new one. Karim Nafal, the managing director I worked with, also at Roccoforte Hotels, and Jean-Luc Biamonti, our president, who only recently resigned after 20 years at the SBM here in Monaco. So, and you know, and I'm sure I could name at least another 50 or 60 people that really taught me something. You know, David Campbell, front office manager at the Ritz in Paris. Amazing people.
Mm-hmm. And you were obviously a good observer. You could see talent and see what good leadership looked like.
When my daughter went to university and she did physics, when I first went to the university with her, I didn't really even understand what physics was all about until a professor told me that physics was modern philosophy. So physics is something that you observe something and you try to get an understanding of why things are happening that way, and you find out why. So, and then I discovered that physics is also for people who have a problem solving attitude. Okay, and then I realized that maybe some. You know, I never studied physics, and when I looked at the book, I couldn't understand a single line of what the book was saying. But I realized that maybe my daughter had taken something, because, you know, if something, at home they call me magic ants, because if something breaks down, you know, I look at it and you know, until I understand how it works. And once I understand how it works, most of the time I can repair it. Okay, so whenever something gets broken at home, you know, the first thing I hear when I get home is, "Dad, can you have a look at this? It doesn't seem to be working properly."
What was your biggest challenge or crisis during your career, and how did you overcome it?
I mean, the biggest challenge I had was keeping the Hotel de Paris open during lockdown. So you have to understand that, the Hotel de Paris, contrary to many other hotels, luxury hotels throughout the world, we have permanent guests here. Actually, we should be on the Guinness Book of Record because a Greek lady spent 68 years of her life here at the Hotel de Paris. She came, she was 28 or 29. She got married and she moved in with her husband. They were in shipping and she passed away. I was here at the Hotel de Paris, so that is now 5 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago. And so, you know, because of permanent clients and those who actually decided to stay here at the Hotel de Paris during the lockdown, the Hotel de Paris was kept open throughout the pandemic. And so the hotel is 50,000 square meters. So you can imagine, I did a walk around in the morning, a walk around in the afternoon, I entertained myself or I entertained some of my clients. Then I spoke to the team because some members of the team were really worried. Some were crying. So it was what looked like a major challenge. However, in the end, I must say, you know, every time I've been asked, so was the lockdown for me? I said, honestly, the lockdown, it was even better than normal times. Because on top of it, you know, I was the only person in the hotel who could use the gym. The gym had to stay close to everybody else, but I had to go and check it out. So, you know, and also at one point I had to cross the border to go to the market, vegetables, meat and fish market in Ventimiglia, because my clients got bored of eating. You know, although we have quite a large room service menu, they wanted different things. So, sometimes I managed to cross the border on the motorway, go over to Italy, do the shopping and come back.
That's a great story. I love it. Another question would be, what was the best or one of the best moments of your career in hospitality? Do you have maybe a success story or a great motive of satisfaction?
Well, I mean, I have many, many fantastic memories. However, I must say, when I started to attract attention, first of all, a few years ago, I received a call from the editor of the hotel magazine, and he said, "Would you accept to be nominated as one of the four candidates for the Independent Hotelier of the World Awards?" So, excuse me, but how do you learn about myself, And then I said, "Okay, well, who were the former winner of Independent Hoteliers of the World?" And among the winners, a few of my friends. So that was an highlight. I didn't win that one. So and the winner was the general manager of the Mamounia in Marrakesh. He got a huge number of votes. So he really deserved it. So next time around, I get a call. I'm asked to attend Virtuoso Symposium in Las Vegas, as I was a runner-up for Best of the Best Hotelier of the Year. So, again, I get very excited. I go to Las Vegas, and on that occasion, he was the general manager of the Hyde Park Mandarin Hotel, a lady, fantastic lady, really an adorable person who won the award. And most recently, I attended the annual conference in the Leading Hotels of the World annual conference in Mexico. And I wasn't expecting anything. And at the end of the gala dinner, I was awarded Leading Legend, which is an amazing recognition, because, Leading Hotels of the World has over 400 members. And the last Italian national who received this award was Roberto Wirth, the owner of the Hustler Hotel in Rome. So, me who comes from a humble Italian family, winning Leading Legend was something. I had to pinch myself to see if he was it was really happening. So,
what an honor!
Yeah, great honor.
I have one last question for you. What is your message of encouragement addressed to young people so that they would want to choose a profession in the hotel industry?
I think we really need to do something about this, we hoteliers. And, I'm a member of the Master in Holders, and one of the requirements for a Master in Holder is really promote the hospitality sector as a wonderful career and fortune opportunity for young people. On the other side, what scares them a little bit is that it's a hardworking industry, and the hours can be long. And as we said before, you need to have been there for a while before you start getting, occasionally one weekend off or a Sunday off, because if you are a leisure destination, you attract clients more during weekends than you do during the week. On the other side, tourism will be one of the fastest growing industry in the world. There will be. I was at the Master in Order conference, and they were saying that the middle class is increasing dramatically, and there will be more and more people with disposable income who will want to experience, they want to travel, to visit places. So tourism is the industry where you could progress at the condition that you have the skills to progress and the passion to do this. But not only that, if you take my case, you know, for me, it's been what the French call an ascenseur social, so a social ladder. You know, I come from a small village in Italy. You know, I've worked in some of the most prestigious hotels in Europe. And this profession has given my children the opportunity to learn, you know, three languages. My daughter, with her master in physics, she's been at BlackRock for the last 6 years, and she's just been promoted director at BlackRock. She manages a portfolio of hundreds of millions of pounds. You know, my son, he has a degree in history from the Westminster University in London, now works at the Royal Automobile Club in Pall Mall in London. And Benedetta, my youngest daughter, at university in Milan. You know, you were asking me if I ever thought that I would become managing director of the Hotel de Paris. You know, I never thought that I would have three children and they would be what they are right now, you know. And that is really down to me taking the opportunities and them accepting the change, you know, having to adapt, going to school where they couldn't almost speak the language. You know, it takes efforts and it takes hard work, but it is extremely rewarding. So, you know, if anyone is looking for a career, you know, I say to my team, I said, you know, if you ever get very rich, you are in the best place to learn. And then they look mm-hmm. at me and they say, excuse me, Mr. Artoli, but to learn what? I says, to learn how a millionaire should behave.
Thank you so much. You've gave us such interesting insights into this amazing industry and into leadership and education. And we really would like to welcome you back again to our show, because I'm sure you have so many things to share with our listeners. So thank you very much, Ivan, and we hope to have you back soon.
Yes, again, thank you, Crystal, and thank you to Sate and Egidio for this opportunity. You know, hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to this interview. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. You take care, and everybody has a great 2023.
Today's episode is being sponsored by Swiss Hospitality Guild. SHG is a training center created to meet the strong demand for specialized hospitality staff. This training concept was born from the experience and expertise of its founder, Egidio Marcato. Egidio has become a reference in the world of hospitality coaching and has had success stories in skills championships, including Swiss Skills, Euro Skills, and World Skills, as well as the AICR World's Best Receptionist Competition. Contact SHG at www.swisshospitalityguild.com.